and be dismissed and behave yourselves, Mr. Randy? We're doing our thankful series this month, as you know, and the first Wednesday night was thankful for the Holy Spirit. Second one was thankful for His grace, was last week. And tonight, we're going to talk about thankful for my future. Thankful for my future. Next week, of course, Bruce will be here next Wednesday night, so he'll have the service. There'll be no thankful series next Wednesday. The thankfulness will be Bruce singing, so... but we'll have that. Also, we're going to have some donuts following service next Wednesday. Just donuts and coffee or bottled water, if that's not your thing, coffee. So try to be here if you can. Support Bruce and have a good time of fellowship before Thanksgiving. And then we'll pick up the last Thursday of the month. Is there another Thursday after next week? I mean, another Wednesday after next week in November? There's one more, right? So we'll do one more thankful thing. Tonight, we're thankful for our future. We'll start in the book of Isaiah. And, you know, I just love how verses can come alive to you. You know, you can read the word over and over. And actually, me and Uncle Gail back there, I call him Uncle Gail. He's really not, but he kind of really is. So, Isaiah 25:8. This is a powerful verse. And I love how, as Christians, you know, we read the Bible, we read the word. And does anybody know, if you've read this verse in the last few years, go ahead and turn it, Brandon, for me, Isaiah 25:8. If you've read this verse, specific verse, in the last year or two, raise your hand if you think you've read it, this specific verse. You read that, Gail? I hear you. Anybody else? Isaiah 25:8. It's one of those verses tucked away. It's not something that's just off, you know, that's not a verse that rolls off your tongue, right? Oh, yeah, man, I love Isaiah 25:8. You know, we say, you know, Psalms 23 or, you know, John 6 or the Lord's Prayer in Matthew or, you know, all these things we say, but Isaiah 25:8 kind of don't roll off the tongue. But look what it says. He will swallow, now we're talking about future. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord God will wipe away tears from how many faces? All faces. And the rebuke of His people shall be taken away. Man, that's powerful. You know, as a pastor, and Uncle Gail was a pastor, and Bill's a pastor, and you know, you read verses throughout your ministry life to prepare and study, and or for personal or both, you know, both. But, man, I come across this, and I'm like, I just, wow. He will swallow up death in victory. He will wipe away tears. What the prophet is saying is there'll be no more sadness and no more mourning. I'm not talking about sadness for things just that happen to us bad. This is a deeper mourning, a deepening tears. There'll be no more sorrow for our sins. There'll be no more reproach because of our sins. He is going to wipe that away. So no longer do we have to grieve because we're unrighteous, but we'll be able to celebrate because Christ has made us righteous. He is going to swallow up death in victory. Go to the next. I got a point after each verse I'm going to make tonight. So the first point here, oh, yes, for the Lord has spoken it. That's pretty important. The Lord has spoken it. So we know it's going to happen. We know it did happen through Jesus that was fulfilled. Go back to my... Oh, thank you very much. That's it. Thank you. Number one, death is no longer in our future. Not as Christians. Think about that. Because of what Isaiah says, death is no longer in our future. Everything tonight is geared about our future. I'm thankful for my future. How can I be thankful, Pastor, for something that's not happened yet? You don't know what's going to happen. You know, I mean, things can change, and we have loss, and we have tragedy, and we have sickness, and we have disease, and we have all kinds of issues, and we go through divorce, and we go through all these things. How could I be thankful for my future? I'm not talking about your future in the next 20 years on earth, which every moment we live, we should be thankful for as well. But I'm talking about being thankful for the future God's prepared for us. So by reading Isaiah 25:8, this tells me, because of what Jesus did, that death is no longer part of my future. It was appointed for man once to die, but after the judgment, so Christ was offered. So Christ was offered. So we know that Jesus came to destroy death. So death is no longer part of my future. That's wonderful. And y'all look so excited. I want you to think about that a minute. Because we were supposed to die. We were supposed to be separated from God. We could not behold His glory. We could not stand in His presence because sin was a barrier between us and God. But then the cross removed the middle wall partition that separated me from Him. That wall was destroyed through the blood of Jesus. So no longer do I have to fear what's going to happen later. I know what happens later. I will not die because Jesus lives. That's good news, and that's part of our future. Number two, next verse. John 1:29, we just read it a while ago. The next day John seeth Jesus coming, says unto him, Behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. Jesus did this. Jesus took away the sin of the world. So many people still trying to remove their own transgressions, their own sins. Still trying to do it their way, through their religion, through their teaching, through their doctrine, through all of their stuff. Still trying to take away their sins. And I'm going to tell you this, the more your eyes are open to the true revelation of grace and His righteousness, the more these things will become so ridiculous to your thinking. You'll be like, I cannot believe they are basing their salvation on this. Or they're basing getting to heaven on this. Because when we see the power of Jesus and who He really is and what He really done, He's enough, period. He's enough. I ran to a guy yesterday at Staples and we got talking to him and I gave him a church card. We got talking. He's looking for a church. I gave him a church card. He's got a friend, he says, who absolutely thinks he cannot be forgiven because he has been a pretty bad person. I mean, a pretty bad man. And all the stuff that he's done, he won't even hear it. He says, I know he won't forgive me. I told this guy, I said, look, tell your friend this. It's not about him and what he's done. It's about what Jesus has done for him. Let him tell him that. Tell him to look at Jesus and what He has done for him. Because when our eyes are on what Jesus has done for us, the thing that stands in the way will be removed. We won't see that obstacle no more. We'll know Jesus removed it out of the way. This poor guy in such condemnation and fear, thinking he can never be forgiven because of what he's done. All of us have done things that we would fear to be forgiven of in the flesh. All of us have done things we could write down and say, man, I hope God missed that one. I hope God was taking a day off when that happened. I really hope God was, you know, convicting Nikki when I was doing that. I really hope God wasn't paying attention. I really hope His back was over here when I was over here doing this. We have those moments. And to live in those moments day after day, not recognizing that Jesus came to take away the sin of the world, humanity, the system, the structure. He came to remove it. Look at my point too. The power of sin is no longer in our future. The power of sin. Now I understand. Yes, we still sin. We still mess up. But what I'm talking about is the power of sin unto judgment against our lives has been removed and canceled out because the Lamb of God was beheld. Because He took on flesh and dwelt among us. Because He touched the mercy seat for our sake. Because He was conceived by the Holy Spirit, His blood not contaminated by man. He was the perfect sacrifice to fulfill the law for all of humanity. And now that power of sin that stood, and you hear people say it all the time about worrying about doing all the stuff to be right, to get right, to stay right. It's a life of torment. It's such a life of torment. Grace. The purest form of grace is believing it is enough without adding anything to it. Believing it is truly enough. But some folks just don't grasp it. Because they're so been misled, mistaught, or the devil talks to them, or they say, look in the mirror, look at what you are doing and how you're living. How possibly could the power of sin no longer be in your life? Sin is what judged us. You know what the Bible says? It says, just as sin entered the world by one man, Adam, so has righteousness entered into the world by one man, Christ. So we realize that the penalty for sin had to be paid. But thank God we don't have to pay it. The payment's been made. The transaction's been sealed. It's a done deal. The tomb is empty to prove that. The power of sin, the judgment against it, is no longer in your future. That's how we can be thankful for our future. Third verse. This is John 14, very familiar scripture. We know this. I've read it many times at different funerals. Jesus talking here. Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in me. Believe in God, also believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. One note I want to make on this. I got looking at that verse for the first time, this part, and got thinking, why did he add, if it were not so, I would have told you? It's kind of odd, I thought. You know what I mean? Think about that. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I think he's trying to make a point to say that there's room for you. And if there wasn't room for you, I would tell you there wasn't room for you. But there's room for you. It's open to all people. So I go prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. Oh, excuse me. If I go prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Whether I go, you know not the way. Then Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whether you goest. How can we know that way? Carnally minded. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto me, unto the Father, but by me. I'm that way. He wasn't talking about a geographical exiting. He was talking about he was the way. Look at my point three here. He has a place for us in the future. Hallelujah. He's got a place for me. Courtney, all those years ago, that road you were on that was destroying your life that you testified about, back then, God had prepared that place for you. You know, on that road of darkness and pain that you were on, such pain, he had prepared a place for you. We tend to think that certain people are qualified and not qualified because of how they look, what they've done, where they've come from. And I was watching a YouTube video on a preacher. I don't know who it was. I guess it's a preacher. I really don't know. Come across it. And I actually tagged one of my friends in it. I said, I want you to check this guy out. And man, all he's doing is passing judgment on people. He's talking about, you know, the drink and the tattoos and just, I mean, he's going on this whole tangent of everything they're doing wrong. And he talks about, we better do this and we better do this and we better do this. Not one time in his 3 or 4 minute message, not one time did he mention Jesus, the cross, grace, redemption. It was all about self-righteousness, about getting themselves right with God, instead of knowing that God is who got us right with him. And I'm sitting there, and it had like 130 shares and thousands of views, and I'm sitting there thinking, my God, this poison is going out to the world that hold people in such bondage. I mean, sure, I think all of us in here tonight are at a point where we realize, I hope we do, that a tattoo is not going to send you to hell. But yet we got people still preaching that. And they want to quote Leviticus, where it says, don't mark yourselves up. That's one of the verses they quote. Once again, let's go back. If you go quote Leviticus, let's quote it all. Man, there's some stuff in Leviticus you don't want to deal with. There's some stuff in there talking about you hurt your neighbor, if you steal from this, if you do this. I mean, there's some stuff in Leviticus, man. Ain't none of us could keep that. We'd all be penalized. And so he's spewing out this poison. And I'm sitting there, and I feel his judgment, and I feel his anger, and I and I feel his condemnation spewing out. Why didn't he one time say in that video, but because of what Jesus did, there's a place for you. There's a place for you. I mean, the Bible says God is love. And the reason so many don't follow the pattern of our God or follow what we support or believe in is because they don't see that acted out. They just see the anger and the judgment. They don't hear the message of love, and there's a place for you. So in our future, because of Christ, there's a place for me with the Savior, with my Messiah forevermore. I've got a place waiting, prepared before the foundation of the world even, prepared for me. That's what's in my future. Beautiful. Next verse. John 6:50. I love John 6. I tell people that are searching for answers or searching their faith and searching for Christ or, you know, want to know about him, I tell them to read John 6. John 6 is so encouraging and really tells the gospel. Verse 50. This is Jesus speaking. Says, this is the bread which came down from heaven, that a man may eat and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. There is nowhere in this verse where Jesus talks about works or how they got to behave or what they got to do. He simply says, I'm the living bread. If any man eat, if any man believe who I am and what I came to do, that's what he's saying, then he shall live forever. And this bread that I shall give is my flesh. And I will give it for the life of the world. I'm going to give my flesh for the life of the world because it's the only way the world can have life is through this sacrifice. He goes on to say in verse 52, the Jews strove among themselves saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Didn't understand. Their ears weren't hearing what he was trying to say. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drinketh his blood, you have no life in you. But whoso eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life, and I will raise him up the last day. Eternal life. We know what eternal means. It never ends. It goes on and on and on. It's forever. He's promised us this life through him. Then verse 58, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead, for he that eateth of this bread shall live forever. My fourth point. There is eternal life in my future. You know, there's a lot of questions, and I'm not going to even begin to try to talk about. One thing I am absolutely, by far, and y'all can all amen to this, it won't hurt my feelings, I am by far not the sharpest tool in the shed. Thank you. So I get that. You ain't getting no more cookies, my mama. Mama, she's on the blacklist, okay? So, but I'm telling you, to know that whatever it is, it's good. People say, what are we doing forever? Man, I get bored watching a 3-minute video on YouTube. You know, I can't sit in an hour service, man. What am I going to do? What am I going to do forever? I don't like anything if I do it forever. I don't have answers to what the kingdom life will be like. Nobody really knows that. Revelations has a lot of things, but I believe a lot of those things are, anyway, it's a complicated book to try to process. But I just know this. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be good. I know it's going to be right. I know it's going to be wonderful. Because I don't believe time at all is measured in the kingdom as it is in the earth, for one thing. We date things with hours and minutes and seconds and years and months. Centuries and decades, and we time everything out. But I just know that eternal life, which means that I will, and I'm talking about just living like this forever with torment and pain and loss and sorrow, will be restored, be redeemed, will be changed. And to be in that place forever, just like Adam and Eve, they were created to live forever. They were created with no death in them to die. They were created. The purpose was that they were created to live forever. And so once again, we're restored to that place of living forever. So eternal life is in my future. And that's pretty good news. And no matter what disease wants to try to take me out, what sickness, what tragedy, what accident, whatever it is that takes the flesh out of me, I know that this is waiting on me. That I'm not going to die and that I have eternal life in my future. Be thankful for your future. Next scripture. 1 Peter 1:3. Blessed be the God, and these are three scriptures I love. I've preached on these three many times over the years. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection. Why do we have a lively hope? The resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's the only reason I've got one. The only reason I have a lively hope is because of his resurrection. Here's what I'm going to have a hope of. An inheritance that's incorruptible, it is undefiled, and it fadeth not away. This is so powerful because how many years have we lived and struggled with wondering, would our reward really be waiting on us? Would I really have it? Because the preacher tells me if I'm really right, I wouldn't do this and I wouldn't do that and I wouldn't think that and I wouldn't, you know, I wouldn't. How do I know? Because everybody tells me what I've got to do and got to do. And I hear so many preachers and teachers, even on the radio, that are so works oriented. That's all they talk about. Instead of the work of Christ and what he did. So my inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, and it fadeth not away, and it is reserved in heaven for me. We talk about this before, man, we love reservations. We love it. Don't you love walking to Olive Garden on a Saturday night? I made a reservation, Lewis's, right there. Guess what? There's never been a time, I know it can happen, but there's never been a time where I made a reservation at a restaurant and went there and my name wasn't in the book. It's right there. Lewis, party of however many is with me that night. Depends on how much fun I'm having. Could be me and Mel, it could be 10 of us, who knows? Depends on what mood I'm in. The Lewis party. And it's in the book. I've got a reserved time, and I'm driving, you know, going to Hickory or Charlotte or Winston, wherever I'm going, know my reservation's in the book. I ain't worried about it. I know it's there. That table's waiting on me when I get there. My name's in the book. It's reserved. Ain't nobody getting my table. It's reserved. Verse 5. It is kept. How's our inheritance kept? It's kept by the power of God. I love how verses come alive when we take time to read them and not just hear from someone teaching it without really looking at it for ourselves. This inheritance isn't kept by all of my hooping, hollering, and all of my doing. It's kept by what? The power of God through faith. That's how it's kept. What this means is I believe I've got a reward. And I believe that reward's waiting on me. And I believe that reward's waiting on me because of Jesus Christ. And it's a done deal. I ain't worried about it. It's waiting. It's reserved. How can you be so sure? Because nobody knows. Because of the old child song, the Bible tells me so. And that's what I believe. Man, there were 500 eyewitnesses that saw Jesus raised from the dead. I mean, walk after he raised. Over 500 people. We're not talking about a couple of disciples that had a conspiracy going on. 500 people saw Jesus walking around before he ascended. They knew that was the same one they saw on the cross. They knew the same one that gave up the ghost. They saw him dead. They prod his body. He didn't move. They put the glass mirror to his nose. He wasn't breathing. They put the stethoscope. His heart had stopped. Jesus was dead in the flesh. And 500 witnesses saw that same dead Jesus walking the earth before he ascended. And they saw him. And they beheld him. And they talked with him. And they said, is this not the same Jesus that was in a tomb wrapped in grave clothes for 3 days? Yes, yes, yes. But now he's alive. The first fruits of them that would sleep in him, which is us, the redeemed church of the living God, that will rise and take our place in the kingdom. Hallelujah. That's what's waiting in my future. And that's good preaching for Wednesday night, church. That's waiting on me in my future. It's kept. Do me a favor, Brandon. Pull up those same three verses for me in the Amplified version. Remember, you seen how to do it the other day? See if you can find the Amplified, 1 Peter 1:3-5. Give me a second to do that. I want to read this in the Amplified because it's even more powerful when you read it in the Amplified version on this. man, our future, you know, we worry about tomorrow, worry about what's happening in our future, about our kids, about our health, about, you know, Medicare, about our pensions, about all of this stuff we worry about. But we got to look beyond what's here and realize, man, what God has waiting and prepared for us is so much higher and so much greater than all the stuff we face here. This is why Paul says all the things of this world that I go through, all the junk, cannot be compared to the glory which will be revealed in me. That's our future. That's why we can thank God for our future. You got it? There we go. This is Amplified, verse 3. Praised, honored, blessed be the Lord God our Father, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, by his boundless mercy. We have been born again to an ever-living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Born anew. Now, this is the verse I really wanted to focus on, the Amplified. Look at this. Born anew into an inheritance which is beyond the reach of change. Think about that. Our inheritance is beyond the reach of change because God has already established it. So it can't be altered. It can't be changed. It can't be like, you know, Stacy, oops, she did it again. So I'm going to take it away. It's beyond change. And it goes on to say, and decay. It's imperishable. You know, I'm a grocery man. We use words like perishable and non-perishable. Perishable, of course, means it can go bad. Perishable items that we all know is milk and cheese and sour cream and, you know, frozen dinners. All that's perishable. It's got a die-by date, so to speak. You know, don't use past August 5th, you know, 2017, or you will die. Whatever, you know, it's got a dead date on it. But man, this reward is beyond that. It has no ending dead date. It's always living. It's always alive. It's unsoiled. It's unfading, reserved in heaven for you. To the next verse. Look at this. Who are being guarded. Oh, we know what guards are, right? We like, you know, oh, guards. We feel protected. Guards. Guards protect us. They keep us from harm. We are guarded by God's power. We are guarded. Our inheritance is guarded by God's power through your faith till you finally inherit that final salvation that is ready to be revealed for you in the last time. That's our future. It's reserved, it's undefiled, it's undecayable, it's unchangeable. It's guarded by the power of God through our faith in Him. Our faith's always got to be centered in Him, in Jesus. Not in us. Not in what can I do to keep my inheritance. What can I do not to lose my inheritance? I better, you know, walk the line. I better do this. I can't do this. I can't do this. I better do this. I better watch this. And all of this stuff that just absolutely, to me, takes away all the power of what Jesus came to do. It will absolutely change your life when we start seeing Jesus as who He really is. Next scripture. I got one more in my point. Point 5. We will have a new/redeemed body in the future. We will have a new redeemed body in the future. That might go back to my other verse. I think I got that mixed up. That goes with this right here. Look at 2 Corinthians 5:1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. And verse 2 says, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. And that was my 5th point. That we will have a new redeemed body. We desire that. Our body's in pain. Our body, we suffer loss in our mind. We lose our vision, our hearing, and things grow dim, and we grow slower. And the age process, because of sin, keeps on moving forward. But inside we groan for that day where there is no more pain, and there's no more slowing down, and there's no more problems, no more disease, no more stress and fear and worries, no more of that heaviness that we carry every day, that all of that will be dissolved, and it will be, because in our future we have a promise of a redeemed and new body. That is 6 point, right? Go ahead. Yes, this goes back to 1 Peter. I'm sorry I got those two mixed up on my slide. Verse 6, we have an eternal reward in the future. We just read 1 Peter 3:3-5. We have an eternal reward waiting on us in our future. It's there. It's sealed, it's preserved, it's in holding until it's our time to inherit it. In recap, I got the 6 points all together here. Death is no longer in our future because Jesus overcame death. The power of sin is no longer in our future because Jesus defeated the power of sin. Number 3, he has a place for me in the future because Jesus went and prepared that place. Number 4, I have eternal life in the future because Jesus paid the price for me to have eternal life in the future. Number 5, we will have a new redeemed body in the future because Jesus paid the price for me to have that. And number 6, we will have an eternal reward in the future. Thank God for the future. We should be so thankful that our future is bright. We got a bright, bright future because of Christ. Though we suffer the earth, and though we look at our past and realize there's things we could change, we would. You ever look back at a season of your life that was maybe just a few years ago to feel like it was 20 years ago? You're like, it's only been 2 or 3 years ago I was going through that. It's not like it's 20 years ago I was going through it. Because there's such a heaviness of that season that's still attached to your life that it just seems so long ago because it was such a storm of your life, but yet it just happened, it seems like. You just can't seem to shake it. And if we're not careful, we get a vision of our rearview mirror to the vision of our windshield. We realize if you drive very much staring in your rearview mirror, you're not going to go very far. If you drive like this, you're not going to go very far because you're going to hit something in front of you. Yes, we glance back at the rearview mirror every now and then to see what's behind us. But man, we keep moving forward. It's always more exciting. Isn't it always more fun going on vacation than coming back? Depends on who you are, I guess. But I like going. I look forward to going. Oh, I'm on the way to the beach. Oh, it's so exciting. And then you're going home. You're like, you're looking in the rearview mirror at the ocean. Bye-bye, ocean. But man, when you first come over that hill and see the ocean. Back as a kid, and I know I know this. Dad's got a great memory. He always, my family don't get it. I'm so alone in my family. I'm just so alone. I was the only one out of everybody, even Jamie. I was the only one of my wife and 3 kids. Christian was a little bit, I guess she was the most excitable. But they didn't get it. I was like a Chevy Chase. on Christmas, on National Lamb. I mean, I was him, man. I want the biggest ball of yarn. Look, y'all. Yeah. Whatever. I said, look, isn't that beautiful? Look at that. What, Dad? Never mind. I'm like, man. But I remember going to the beach all the years with Dad. We went to Myrtle Beach every year for years. Every year. We took a summer vacation to Myrtle Beach. And the way we come in on 501. And you come in on 501 and you cross over 17 there, you can see the ocean when you cross 17. And Dad always like, here we go. Here it is, Jake. Look. And I'd be up in that seat, man, looking, there he is. And I see that the line of that water going across there. Like, there it is. There's the water. I mean, it was just like euphoric, There's the ocean. It was awesome. Mom's like, yeah. she was okay. But, me and Dad knew what that meant. It meant boogie board time. It meant getting the ocean, hitting the waves. And, yes, my dad on a boogie, I promise, when I was a kid, yes, he was. It wasn't a boogie board then. It was called a raft. But, now the boogie boards, but it was them blue and red big puff-up rafts that we used to do with the string. Now they got the little boards, but I broke my boogie board 1 year in a wave. Broke right in half. I hit one of them waves, there's styrofoam. I hit that wave, snapped right in half. So then I had 2 pieces like this. But I remember being so excited seeing the ocean. It was just because it was ahead of me. And then I always would hate coming back. I'm like, oh, man, we're leaving the beach. It's behind us and going through stupid Conway. Conway's not exciting. Conway's going the other way from the home. I want to, going through Conway's great, yeah, but going back the other way, no, I'm that much further away from it. So, yes, we spend time looking in our past to reflect, to remember. But if we spend too much time focusing, we're going to crash and wreck. Staying on the road means we pay attention. It means we look ahead. And our future, church, is incredible because of Jesus. And that's something we should be thankful for. The future he has prepared for us that he has waiting on us. And I am so excited about that. So all the stuff the devil brings into your life, just remind him. Think of the old Carmen song. He said that in one of his songs. When he reminds you of your past, you remind him of your future. Because the devil is great about bringing up our past and what we've done, where we've been, what we're not doing right. It goes back. And I'm going to tell you something. This came out in a prophetic word 2 weeks ago. And we didn't get it on the, it got cut off right before. I didn't get on our message. It got cut off because I was actually closing service out. And so the service was pretty much over. But then there at the end, the Lord just spoke in a way. But, you know, one of the things that was said, paraphrasing, was that when we truly see, and it's revealed to us, really, what Jesus did. And we've heard it our whole lives, what he did. But it's almost like there's been scales or a veil that's kind of muddy the waters. Yeah, I've heard what Jesus done. He died for my sins, rose the third day, I can be saved, blah, blah, blah. But if we really realize what he really did, that he is truly and ultimately enough without adding anything else to it, nothing to it, that's what's not been taught. When we see Jesus as who he really is, it's going to set us free. I mean free, church. It's going to set us free. We'll no longer walk in bondage and condemnation, worried about everything we do wrong, discounting what Christ did right. I've said it before, and some people be like, oh, you can't say that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. We can't out-sin the power of God's grace. It's too powerful. It paid the price. We can rebel, we can run, we can whatever, but it doesn't mean that his sacrifice wasn't enough. It was. It was enough. And when we finally see that, oh my God, why am I so tormented day and night? I'm not saying that we're not convicted by things, that the Lord wants us to turn from things and do things different in our lives. I'm not talking about that. But I'm talking about unto salvation. I'm talking about there's so many people that think, I mean, I tell people all the time, they just think everything, that trumpet sounded, and old Joe Brown guy's eyeball over here somewhere, checking out some skirt in Best Buy, Miss Sharon ain't looking, old Joe eyeball goes over there, and the trumpet sounds, he's hell bound. The only way Joe's hell bound is if Sharon sees him. It's not always hellbound. But man, we've been so programmed and we live our lives on eggshells thinking, oh my God, Jesus, it's faith in you. You keep my salvation. Remember what Paul says? He is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. What he's saying is God is watching and securing my future. He's securing it. He's got it. In his hands. Whatever comes my way, he's got my future in his hands and nothing can disrupt that. It takes some deprogramming. It takes some cleaning our PC up. It takes running some malware. Is that what you call it? Malware? What do you call it? Huh? Well, yeah, whatever. Antivirus. And cleaning that system out because we've been so keyed and programmed to think a certain way. But when you start reading the Bible yourself and reading what God's Word says, my God. Go back this week and read Isaiah 25:8, that one verse. Just read that one verse again. Like, oh my God. Turn back to it. We'll close in this verse, Isaiah 25:8. One more time. Look at this verse. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord will wipe away tears from all faces. No more sorrow, no more grief because of sin. and the rebuke of his people, the rebuke, the reproach, shall he take away from off of his people. Next verse, Brendan. Off the earth. He will take it away from off the earth because he has spoken it. He has spoken it. And what God speaks has to come to pass. And we realize Jesus fulfilled this prophecy of Isaiah. He did swallow up death. 1 Corinthians 15. Oh, death, where is thy victory? Oh, grave, where is thy sting? Thanks be to God through Christ who gives us the victory. Glory. Thankful for our future. So be thankful. I know the present can be pretty sorry sometimes. I get it. We all got sorry presents sometimes. We all got days we don't want to get out of bed. But man, if we just knew what was waiting on us, we could just enjoy life so much more. I'm not going to let a broken down dishwasher, a broken down transmission, a plumbing bill, I'm not going to let that disrupt my life to the point I can't function. It's stuff. It's all just stuff that's going to pass away. But thank God I'm going to walk into a future that'll never pass away. So be thankful. Any comments tonight in closing on the message or any input or insight? Nick, I got some bottled water in that kitchen refrigerator if you need to grab your bottle. Anybody?